be reading Luke chapter 8, verses 4 through 8. I'm reading from the New King James Version. And when a great multitude had gathered and others had come to him from every city, he spoke by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trampled down, and the birds of the air devoured it. Some fell on rock, and as soon as it sprang up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. But others fell on good ground, sprang up, and yielded a crop 100-fold. When he had said these things, he cried, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Derek?
Good evening. I'm happy to get to speak this evening. I'm grateful to the elders for allowing me the opportunity. This evening we're going to look at the parable of the sower that is recorded in Luke chapter 8. So if you have your Bibles open, we'll spend the majority of our time there this evening. The parable of the sower is about the effect of the Word of God on our heart. It is a simple parable with some hard truths about life. The first lesson is that sowing the Word is hard work. It takes perseverance, determination, and a compassionate heart. The second lesson is that this parable is fundamental for the life of a kingdom citizen, teaching the Word and bearing fruit towards God. The third lesson tells us that our attitude and our work ethic will define us in our spiritual life as much as they do in business, sports, education, or any other field. And last, this parable reminds us that our work is only complete when we see our Lord in heaven. If you would, if you have your Bible open to Luke chapter 8, look in verse 12. Jesus is going to say there, "Those beside the road are those who have heard. And then the devil comes and takes away the word from their heart so that they will not believe and be saved. Those on the rocky soil are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no firm root. They believe for a while and in time of temptation fall away. The seed which fell among the thorns, these are the ones who have heard. And as they go on their way, they're choked with the worries and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to maturity. But the seed in the good soil, these are the ones who have heard the word in an honest and good heart, and hold it fast and bear fruit with perseverance." So Jesus explains the four different approaches, the four different responses that we can have to the Word of God. The first one, he says, are those who are beside the road, those who don't believe. I read an interesting fact about Walt Disney before we traveled to California, and that's before Walt Disney built Disneyland, he didn't immediately lay pavement. What he did was he waited several weeks for people to walk and take shortcuts through the grass. And then what he did is he laid the pavement over those shortcuts and he put the fences around it. Some people have hearts the exact way that that pavement is laid. That might be the conversation where you have to shake the dust off your feet because some people simply aren't going to listen to you. When you think about Bible examples, you think about Pharaoh and you think about the Pharisees, some people simply have hard hearts. Jesus says there's also the rocky soil. If you've ever gardened, you know sometimes you look at a plant and it looks really big and it looks like it's going to be really strong, and then you go to pull it up and it comes up really easy. Some people have a very shallow faith, Jesus describes. There's also the thorny soil, the worries and the riches and the pleasures of life. People are caught up in distractions. We took a trip to the Ark this summer, and we heard a preacher say that this is the most American verse in the Bible. You think about the context. If you look in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus is going to say at the end of the a passage there in verse 31, Matthew chapter 6 and verse 31, "Do not worry then, saying, 'What will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear for clothing?' For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will take care of itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." As Americans, as people who can get entitled and get caught up in distractions and get caught up in things that aren't wrong in themselves, but things that can choke out our faith, that's something we need to be aware of. And the fourth soil, he says, is the good soil. That's the fruitful soil. And in context of 2 Kings chapter 19 and verse 30, Isaiah says that we have to take root downward and bear fruit upward. So we have to have faith that roots us and keeps us grounded, but we also have to bear fruit and we have to have love and hope in those things. Sowing is hard. Is there anybody that's ever tried to garden? Did everything grow when you tried to do it? You have to put effort to get there. When you garden, you're going to get sweaty, you're going to get blisters, you're going to get a backache, you're going to get knee aches, you're going to get dirty. Jesus set the example for the hard work of being a sower. If you're in Luke chapter 8 and you look in verse 1, it says there, "Soon afterwards he began going around from one city and village to another, proclaiming and preaching the kingdom of God." So from the beginning of the context of the situation, he's practicing what he preaches. He says in verse 5, in Luke chapter 8, "The sower went out to sow his seed." It was an Eastern practice to live far away from, to live in a city and have a farm that was far away. You were safe if you were in a city, you were safe if you're in a town, and you had to travel miles, a great distance sometimes, to get to the farm that, where you worked. If you think context about the parable of the Good Samaritan, there were robbers on the road from Jerusalem to Jericho. So sometimes it was difficult and unsafe to travel. Sowing is hard, and we have to be adaptable in how we teach. Jesus is in Galilee, which is a rural region, and he's talking to rural people. He uses a farming illustration. For another example, if you look in Luke chapter 2, John the Baptist is teaching. Luke chapter 3. And the people are coming to John the Baptist. Luke chapter 3, starting in verse 10, it says there, "And the crowds were questioning him, saying, 'Then what shall we do?' And he would answer and say to them, 'The man who has two tunics is to share with him who has none, and he who has food is to do likewise.' And some tax collectors also came to him to be baptized, and they said to him, 'Teacher, what shall we do?' And he said to them, 'Collect no more than what you have been ordered to.' Some soldiers were questioning him, saying, 'And what about us? What shall we do?' And he said to them, 'Do not take money from anyone by force or accuse them falsely, and be content with your wages.'" So three different groups of people approach John, and he gives them three different answers. He tells the crowds to be compassionate. He tells the tax collectors to be fair with money. And he tells the soldiers to be just and to be happy with their pay. The same thing applies to us. When we share the truth, we need to work on understanding the people first and probably foremost so we can know how to share the truth with them. Jesus preaches from different locations. He preaches in cities. He's in villages. He's recorded in a house. He ends up preaching this parable on a boat. He's willing to go anywhere and everywhere. Are we willing to travel anywhere and everywhere? Have we talked to our classmates? Have we talked to our coworkers? Have we talked to our neighbors and shown the same willingness that he obviously did? And he preaches about the different responses that people give to the word. The four soils are four types of hearts that are conditioned to either accept or reject the truth. One of the lessons we can take from it is that anyone can be a sower. He defines the seed. If you look in Luke chapter 8 and verse 11, he defines the seed. He says, "Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God." And he defines the soils, which are the four different responses in the heart. But it's interesting, Jesus does not define who the sower is. If you look in Mark chapter 4, Mark chapter 4 and verse 14, he simply says, "The sower sows the word." So the seed is specific, the soils are specific, the sower is anybody who shares the word with someone else. The sower is the preachers, the sower is the Bible class teachers, the sower is our parents, the sower is our friends, the sower is us. It's anyone who takes the time and the intent and the purpose to share the good news about Christ with someone else. Sowing is fundamental. Talk about fundamentals. Fundamentals are basics. I was a basketball coach for a period of time in Texas, so there wasn't a practice in which we didn't, at one point in time, work on shooting or work on passing or work on dribbling or work on defense. If you want to think about fundamentals maybe a different way, what if we took one of those things away from a basketball practice or a game? What if we had a game in which nobody shot the basketball? Or we had a game in which nobody passed the basketball? It would completely change what you're talking about. What if we had churches with no preaching? What if we had churches with no Bible classes? And what if we had churches or communities in which no one shared their faith in God? Sowing the seed is fundamental to who we are as Christians. It helps us also understand other parables. If you look in Mark chapter 4 and verse 13, Mark chapter 4 and verse 13, Jesus says, "And he said to them, 'Do you not understand this parable? How will you understand all the parables?'" So sowing the word and bearing fruit is essential for Christians. Look in Matthew chapter 28. Matthew Matthew chapter 28, reading verses 18 through 20. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." Very simply, he says, go. We're supposed to make disciples, and we're supposed to baptize and teach. If you turn to John chapter 15, John chapter 15, reading verses 1 through 5. Jesus speaks and says there, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it so that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." Some of the simple things we can take from that is that we have to bear fruit or God is going to prune us out. The parable of the sower also helps us understand people's responses. He uses it, Jesus does, as a way to explain why people fall away or why they remain faithful. If you turn to Galatians chapter 6, Galatians chapter 6, reading verses 7 and 8, Paul wrote there, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption, but the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life." How we respond to the Word of God determines whether we grow, and it also determines how much we grow. It's important to listen. On my commute to work recently, I listened to an audiobook called Master Leaders, put together by a man named George Barna. He interviewed leaders from politics, from the military, from religion, and from sports. And the last lesson of the book, he asked them, what's the most important lesson of leadership? And across the board, they all said listening. Jesus says in Luke chapter 8, verse 8, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." How we take in the word determines our response. Look in James chapter 1. James chapter 1, starting in verse 21. James writes there, "Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness and humility, receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. But prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and goes away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. But the one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does." James describes two responses that we can have to the Bible, that we can have to the Word of God. We can receive with humility and we can change. We remove the sin from our lives. We let the Word take root through Bible study and devotion and prayer. And then we put in practice what we learned. Common phrase is people would rather see a sermon than hear one. Or we delude ourselves and we forget. We can hear the truth and we do nothing about it. It's in one ear and out the other. Or we see with our natural face, we see what we're supposed to do, and we do nothing. Each day that we wake up and our feet hit the ground and we're alive and breathing, that's an opportunity to be forgiven and to live like we're forgiven and to share the grace of God and His message with others. To sow the seed, we have to be persistent. More people are going to reject the word than will listen to it. Anybody familiar with who Michael Jordan is? Okay, he's very successful. Michael Jordan won 6 NBA championships, 10 scoring titles, 5 MVPs, 4 Defensive Player of the Year awards. But he said this about failure. He said, "I've missed more than 9,000 shots in my career. I've lost almost 300 games. 26 times I've been trusted to take the game-winning shot and missed. I failed over and over and over again in my life, and that's why I succeed." It's interesting to think about what Jesus saw when he delivers the sermon, when he delivers the message about the 4 parables, and he's the one that can see into the hearts and see the ones who are rejecting him and seeing the ones that are accepting what he says. That's not something that we can see ourselves, but it's encouraging because while we can't control someone else's response, we can't control their reaction, when sharing the truth with them, we can take assurance that God said not every time that we attempt that we're going to be successful. The soil matures in only one, and the seed matures in only one soil. One of the unique aspects of the parable is that there are four options presented instead of two. But for each, there's a series of choices that each of us make in response to the word. Ultimately, Jesus presents two choices. We either receive the word and bear fruit, or we fall into multiple pathways of sin. He quotes from Isaiah during the message. If you turn over to Isaiah chapter 6, Isaiah chapter 6, reading verses 8 through 10. It says there, "Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send and who will go for us?' Then I said, 'Here am I, send me.' He said, 'Go and tell this people, keep on listening but do not perceive, keep on looking but do not understand. Render the hearts of this people insensitive, their ears dull and their eyes dim, otherwise they might see with their eyes and hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and return and be healed.' Then I said, 'Lord, how long?'" So you can kind of see in that example, God asks for a volunteer. Isaiah raises his hand. And then as he finds out everything that he's going to have to share with everybody, he slowly puts it down and he ends up saying, "Well, how long do I have to do this?" Sharing the word, sowing the seed, it's not going to be a popular message because we are going to run into hard-hearted people. Preaching and teaching the truth is not popular. It's not a comfortable message. Isaiah ends up asking, "Lord, how long am I going to?" Teaching is not easy, and it takes work and intent. And each of us is sent by God to teach. God starts the passage there in Isaiah, "Whom shall I send?" He calls all of us to be his ambassadors for the world. We're just the vessel to carry the message. The message is what's important. Good seed needs to grow. If you turn over to Psalm chapter 1, in Matthew 13, just in context, Matthew 13, verse 23, Jesus says that not only is there good soil, but there's some good soil that exceeds 30 times, some 60 times, some 100 times. Good seed needs to grow. Reading from Psalm 1, "How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither, and in whatever he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but they are like chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. But the Lord, for the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish." What does it take to bear more fruit? Do you consider who's influencing you? Are you devoting time to Bible study and prayer? Do you go with the crowd or do you stand out? The preacher that I grew up hearing in Texas said this. He said, "Whether you are a child or mature relative to the word of righteousness depends on the amount you have digested." When you think about the parable of the sower, it's simple. It's about how our hearts receive the word of God. Sowing takes hard work of preparing our own hearts and preparing others. It's fundamental to our service to God. And as we mature, it must be a part of who we are. It takes persistence. There's not going to be a time when it's easy to preach and to teach the truth, but God rewards those who bear fruit towards him. Jesus calls us to fruitful lives. If that's a life that you wish to take on and begin, or if there's some course correction and some help that you need, please come forward while we stand and sing.